of the Lord. If you have tithe and offering, you can bring it anytime you want to or after the service. Let's talk just a few minutes about something. I want to talk about one word. I don't know if I'll be 5 minutes or 25 minutes, but I just want to talk about one word. I want to talk about hope. Now, when I say hope, all of you have a definition of what hope is. But as I study the scripture and I look at the scripture and I see the text as it's written, the way something is written, you have to understand the context of the word and the definition that's put on that word when it's written. Hope. When I've studied old Hebrew text in regard to David and Goliath, and I talked about him this morning, when he charged the enemy, this is what he was screaming. He was saying, "My hope is in God." But it wasn't a hope like, "I hope this works." Because outside of knowing Jesus Christ, your hope is just a chance that maybe something will work. Possibility, that's all. But when you know Jesus Christ, hope becomes a whole different category to you. Different. Completely different. He was saying this when he ran toward Goliath. "I have placed my trust in Jehovah God. I've placed all of I am and everything about me in God, and my hope, my confidence," that's how he meant that. "My confidence is in God." And he defeated him. Hope has become a very passive word in the world. And in secular theology, hope has become a passive word. We hope this, hope that. But when you study hope in Scripture, you see that hope is one of the most powerful places of a child of God. Let me give you a few scriptures about hope. The text this evening is found in Isaiah chapter 40. And in this entire text of chapter 40 of Isaiah, there's comfort that's being spoken to the people of God. If you're a people of God, say amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, a very familiar scripture to some and maybe to not to others. But here's the scripture. It asks a question. It says, "Do you not know?" This is it's a calling to your attention. It's not saying, "Are you stupid? Are you ignorant?" It's not that. It's saying, "Don't you remember? Don't you realize? Do you not know? And have you not heard?" So I'm going to either bring it back to your call, or number two, secondly, maybe you don't know. Maybe you've never heard. The Lord is the everlasting God. Have you forgotten that God is the everlasting creator and God? That's what he was saying to you. That's what he was saying to me when I read it. Do you not know that he is the creator of the ends of the earth, the everlasting God? That L-O-R-D is Yahweh. A word that couldn't be pronounced, really. It was so holy that when I was in Israel, I went into the caves where the writers were. Remember the Dead Sea Scrolls? That's a very desolate area of mountain area and a lot of caves and caverns. It's near Masada when you go to the Masada. But in that area, there's a cavern area and you can walk into, and there are reservoirs of water. When it would rain in that little period of time, God provided huge reservoirs. There would be pools of water out of solid rock that were like cisterns that were as big as from here to the wall, and that would be their supply of water. And there were different places like that where the water ran in, and the cave system is where the writers. It was believed that at one time John was one of the scripts that wrote. And as they would transfer from the original text, the Holy Scriptures into scrolls to be read, when they would come to this word, Lord, L-O-R-D, or Yahweh, the writer would take his pen, that dipped in ink pen, and he would write Yahweh, and then he would break it. He'd drop it into a disposable area. He would go and take off his clothes and take a bath, put on clean clothes and new sandals, and come back and begin to write again, because that word is so holy. Think about the honor of God. We've come a long ways in our relationship with God, and we've fallen a far way off of honor as these men that wrote the original text were. When they wrote Yahweh, everything had to be destroyed, start all over again. And if the script was in the, if the word was in the script five times in two lines, it was five sets of clothes, five shoes, five baths, five breaking of the stencil, and rewriting. The holiness of God. So when we see that word, the holiness of an of the, not a, of the everlasting God, the Creator, capital C in the middle of a sentence, that is singular in possession. He alone is the Creator of the ends of the earth. He, capital He, proper, but capital any place, He will not grow tired or weary. And His, that should be a capital, understanding no one can fathom. Man, you see, there's a reason why I can have hope. It's because of who He is. I can't have hope in anything that the structure could vary. I can't have hope in anything that's temporary. I can have secular hope, but the kind of hope where the confidence is unwavering, that's a different kind of hope. I wrote a note to myself. Can I read it to you? You can't have hope without relationship. Now, this is talking about as a child of God, not secular. You cannot have hope without relationship, and you cannot have relationship without hope. Hope is a powerful, powerful agent in the life of the believer. Scripture bears witness to that. Hope is an assurance, not an insurance. Hope in God is your confidence in God. It's your trust in God, and it's your belief in who He is. Put that scripture back up there, Lonnie, please, and just leave it up there. Do you not know, and have you not heard the glorious, wonderful, highest name, Yahweh, is the everlasting God, singular, the singular Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. Verse 29, the next verse in that same scripture. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Every time I think about this, have you ever been weary? You know there's a difference between being tired and being weary. I was talking to a really good friend of mine the other day. I've known all most of his life. And he was confiding in me, and he said this. I told my wife, I think I'm tired. And then I said, no, I'm not tired. I'm weary. Whole different category. There are things that appear to be the same, but weary is a spiritual thing. Weary. in my spirit. He gives strength to the weary. So sometimes if you just think you're physically tired, it may come with it, but you could become weary. The Bible says don't become weary in what? Well doing. Because if you'll just hold on. But we do become weary. And this hope that we have, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You ever felt weak? Just me? You ever felt weak? Go to verse 30. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But, verse 31, but those who hope, now here's the power of hope. Those who hope, that's a powerful, diverse, dissecting, changing thing. Those who hope in the Lord will do, this is what hope will do. It'll renew your strength. They'll soar on the wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not be faint. Oh, don't take that down. Leave that there. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. The Lord will. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and they'll not grow weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this about hope. For in this hope, not the world's hope, we're talking about a very exact situation. Hope in God. You can't have relationship without hope, and you can't have hope without relationship when it comes to God. Listen to this. For in this hope, we are saved. Hope is the power to salvation. My confidence. What would it be like if you got saved and didn't have hope? I can tell you this. It would be like there's a great church in Kansas City, and Ruth and I, they asked us to pastor the church, and I didn't feel the Lord's will. Evangel Temple, right on Highway 435, when you're coming into Overland Park there on the right. Great church. But I preached there several times when their pastor was sick. And while I was preaching, I got to know the people, and there was one young man that would come down every Sunday morning and get saved again. He had been a Catholic all of his life, and he knew Mass and he knew confession. And finally, one Sunday, I went down to him. I believe his name was Tony. I said, Tony, what are you doing? Well, I just sin during the weekend. I'm just making sure I'm right with God. I said, Tony, let me explain something. Sat down with him right there. And I said, do you know you don't have to do this? He goes, well, he did. I hadn't convinced him at all. I said, when you put your hope in Jesus Christ, that hope leads to salvation. And your salvation is a constancy. As long as you want Jesus in your life, you don't have to worry about not having him anymore. For this, in this hope, we're saved. But hope that is seen is no hope. So hope is something that's not really so tangible, and you don't see it because there's no need to hope any longer. I hope that there's a beautiful Christmas tree with a star on it right here in front of me, but I don't have to hope anymore because it's right here. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Whose hope for what he has already? Who hopes for what he already has? I don't have to hope that this is a tree, do I? Somebody amen me, will you? If you agree, I mean. I don't have to hope about that. But if we hope for what we do not see, 25. Look at this. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So our hope not only is our source of salvation, our hope is the expectation that when we place that spiritual hope into action, it ignites something, and I'm going to have that even though I don't see it in my present, its present state. God's going to do. That's confidence that hope brings. It's incredible, the scriptures. Psalms 119, 114 says, "You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." And that's a capital there, your. Listen to this. This is what hope is. "You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Hope is the confidence that God is my hiding place, my refuge. Pastor Emily preached on that. And my shield. Hope continues to grow in Psalms 130, verse 7. "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him in abundant redemption." Now my hope takes on a whole different genre. It's the same hope, but it's a different facet on the diamond of hope. "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy and his abundant redemption." Hope has confidence in the mercy of God. How many's ever needed mercy? You ever needed it? I needed it this week. Mercy, 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 God, mercy. "And with him is abundant redemption." It's a forth cropping, it's a growing, it's a fruit of hope. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. Psalms 147, 11. Psalms 147.11. "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy." So hope is not a passive word, and it's not a passive place. This says if you have hope, God takes pleasure in you. Now that's big to me. I want to please God. I want to stand before God, and I want God to take pleasure in me. And I find out in this scripture that the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Do you know what that means? I don't have to worry about if God loves me. It doesn't mean I take it for granted. Today when Brian Spear was leaving, we have a nickname for each other, and he looked at me and he said, "Hoot, I love you." And I looked at him and I said, "You know what?" I didn't even say, "You know what?" I said, "I know you do. I know you do. And you know I love you." He goes, "Oh, I know that." I don't care what anybody says. If somebody said something that I would say, Brian Spear would say, "You're lying." He didn't say that. If someone said I did something to him, he would look at them and go, "You're lying." He didn't do that. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. I know God loves me. Hope allows me to know that my Redeemer likes me and loves me. And I don't have to worry about him betraying me or doing me wrong. See, I have put my hope, my spiritual power that God has given me that comes only from God. Hope, spiritual hope, true hope, in his unfailing love. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there's an hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Look at Romans 5:5. Look at this. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given, which was given to us. Hope, now hope, prevents disappointment in your life. Hope does not disappoint us. So we can put our hope in God. That's not the hope it works kind of hope, but the confident hope that David had when he ran toward Goliath. My hope is in God. My hope is in Jehovah. That's what it was, my surety, my absolute confidence, my peace, my joy, my comfort. And hope does not disappoint us. If you put your absolute trust in God and you put all of your hope in God, you will not be disappointed. Do you believe the scripture? You believe it's accurate in what it's saying? It says this because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. This is Romans saying, Paul writing to the Romans saying this, that we'll never be disappointed by putting our absolute confidence in God. Romans 12:12 says this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. Woo. Be joyful in hope. Hope's a source of joy. Can you imagine this devastating situation where Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, these great men of God have been burdened, particularly Nehemiah, to go back and build the city of Jerusalem after the destruction, after the captivity, after 70 years and the first destruction of Israel, of Jerusalem. And they go back and the walls are there, but the gates are all broken. Those are big gates, by the way. I've been there. The gates are broken down. The temple is dismantled. But they didn't bother to look inside because as they tore down the temple, they just left the stuff in there. They took the gold and silver out, but the manuscripts and things they didn't see any value to when they were taken captivity. This is the time of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the captivity, 70 years of captivity, Nehemiah's burden. He asked the king whom he's the cupbearer. The cupbearer is the guy that tastes the food before the king does in case there's an assassination attempt. And in doing so, they become real close. And the king confides in them because this guy is there to save his life and would give his life for him. Nehemiah says, let me go back and build the walls. They build the walls. They get the gates put back. From the harassment of those who doubted that this was from God or got jealous of them, they worked through it. Now they're in the temple place and they've put things back in order. They go in and Ezra finds the books and they begin to read and they go, oh no, oh my goodness. We were supposed to be keeping the high holy days. We haven't kept Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles. What have we done? And Ezra brings all the people together, Nehemiah, and they begin to read in Ezra in Nehemiah chapter 8. And he goes, we haven't kept the holy times with God. We haven't honored God the way we should. Sometimes in our busy life, we forget to honor God the way we should. I'm not asking for your approval. I'm telling you what life is like today. It's on the second and the millisecond. Times everything. We get too busy. He said, look at this. And he begins to read it. The more he reads, the less happy the people get, to the point of mourning. They're weeping. They're going, oh, we failed God. We haven't given him what he's given us. He's helping us restore Jerusalem. And what have we done? Failed to worship him the way we should. And Nehemiah chapter 8 makes a statement that I've said and we've heard many times, but it's so powerful. He said, just relax and hold on. We're going to change it today. We're going to have Passover at the time of Passover. We'll have the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll have the Feast of Pentecost. We'll have the feast. We'll have all the feasts we're supposed to. We'll do everything the way we're supposed to. Purim, we'll do it all, whatever. But today, I want you to do something. I want you to leave here. I don't want you to leave here defeated. He said, I want you to leave here. I want you to go get a picnic basket. Stop by Kentucky Fried Chicken for me, Popeyes for Ruth, and Benaiah, Pastor Benaiah, and that one back there. But I'll take Kentucky Fried Chicken. Stop by there and get some potato salad and coleslaw and mashed potatoes and gravy and go have a picnic. Have a picnic. He said, yeah, have a picnic. Because we have found the word and we found direction. And we are working toward relationship. And when we have relationship, we'll have hope. Because we can't have hope without relationship. But when we reinstate our relationship with Jehovah, we will have hope again. And they did. And he said this statement to them, go eat and drink, have a picnic, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo! Hope gives you joy. Hope gives you joy. Well, I'm going to start hoping right now. Well, you can, That's not how you get hope. You get hope through relationship, time with Jesus. Rearrange your life. Rearrange your schedule. You know, you do what you want to do. You know why I'm here tonight? Because, well, I'm the pastor. No. I'm here because I want to be. It's my priority. I'm not saying anything to anybody else about anything. I'm just saying me. I do what I want to do. It's amazing how I can work things out to do things I want to do. But it's time that we start rearranging our priorities and giving honor back to Yahweh. I don't have to take a shower and change clothes every time I read his name now. Because of this reason. Not because he's become less holy, but because he sent himself in the form of a baby in Bethlehem in this time of year. We look to that. Because he lived and grew 33.5 years among his people. Because he gave his life on the cross and his blood for you and I and died for us and rose again. He opened up the veil of the temple and exposed what was the holies of holies, the Ark of the Covenant then, that no man could go into save once a year. And that the high priest. He opened that up to everyone. Now I can have entrance into the presence of God. I can have hope through relationship. He made it possible for me to have relationship. So rejoicing in hope, Romans 12:12. Patient in tribulation and continuing steadfastly in prayer. My goodness. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in relationship. Titus, this small epistle, 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for the blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? My reunion with Jesus Christ. What's my reunion with Jesus Christ? It's going to come one of two ways. Either I'm going to be here in the rapture, or it's going to be in my own little personal, I'm leaving and going to see Jesus. But I have a personal invitation and an appointment set to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so do you, every one of us, looking for the blessed hope. Say, you wanting to die, Pastor? No, are you kidding? I'm having a ball. Thanksgiving, I had all seven of my grandkids in my house. When Natalie didn't have them, I had them. We had to trade off craziness because they all love each other and get along great, but it is loud at my house. And I hear Papa every 5 seconds or Mimi every 5 seconds from five or seven of all seven. But it's joyful. It's fun. I'm not in a hurry to leave anything. I love this church. I love being here. But I do have an appointment, and I am looking for that blessed hope. Woo! It could come tonight. It could come in my heart could stop right now. We're all going to pass. But it could come in the rapture, too. But whatever it is, it's the blessed hope to you, corporately or individually. And glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, and let me end with this one. 1 John 3:3. This is a powerful statement about hope. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoa, man. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Hope is the purification of relationship with Jesus Christ, just as he is pure. Man, hope is powerful, isn't it? Hope isn't passive. Hope isn't some, back in the day, there was a song I grew up with, everyone sang it, and all these over 25, all the ladies over 25, it was hope, faith, and charity, that's the way to live. I didn't even like the song, never did like it. But the Bible talks about hope, faith, and love. But it says this, everyone who has this hope, you can't have hope without relationship, and you can't have relationship without hope. Either way. But you can have hope. And hope's powerful. And everyone who has this hope in him, look at this, purifies himself. You want to be more pure in the eyes of God? If you do, say amen. If you're watching online, say amen. Good. I believe that. Everyone who has this hope in him, can't have it around you. It's got to be in you. And that's by purely requesting it from the Father. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, purifies you, just as he is pure. Stand to your feet with me. Father, I know you gave me this word tonight to rekindle hope in the hearts of people. I hear about hope every day. Let's give hope to people. Let's give hope to them who don't have food. Let's give hope to those who don't have a place to stay. Let's give hope to those who are having a hard time. Let's give hope to those who are sick. Let's give hope to those that have gone through tragedies in their life and being missed. Let's give hope. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, hold it. God, let's redo this. And let's give them Jesus. And in Jesus, they'll find hope. We'll find hope. You and I will find hope. Mighty God, we want to have that hope. If you want that hope, raise your hands with me right now and say, Jesus, I want that hope to be in me, strong and powerful. I want that hope to purify me. I want that hope to be like you, like you're pure. I want to live with that hope in my life that's joyful and powerful.